So when were your meals then?
Hmm?
When were your meals? Did you make coffee? Did you have hot coffee or something out there?
Back in the woods?
Yeah. You didn't keep a fire going?
No, you didn't even start a fire. Oh, boy. No, you didn't even make a fire. You had to, most of the time you had to keep working to keep warm.
Think they did that on purpose?
Hmm?
You think they did that on purpose?
Well, that was the way it was done. I don't know how it was. Probably at the time, that was the only way they could figure out to do it.
How long would it take you to cut your 90 pieces? Did that take you all day long of steady work?
Yeah.
8 hours?
From the time you could see until they got so you couldn't see.
You worked all day?
From daylight till dark. There was no 8 hours about it.
You worked in the sawmill. How long was your shift?
10 hours. When you worked in the mill. No 8 hour days at that time.
Willis, who was out in the field checking you guys out to make sure you were working? Like, say somebody got lazy and just sat around for an hour or so.
Well, then nobody. If you didn't cut so many pieces, you got fired. That's all there was of it.
Who counted the pieces that you cut?
I had a guy that, a scaler,
mm-hmm.
I call it. He measured them logs.
He was the one that said this fella didn't do his work for the last week, he's fired. Would he have that?
He had make out a list of these two men would cut so many logs every day long, and the other guy, two other men, they cut so many pieces, and the boss would look that list all over, and if you didn't have enough to satisfy him, you went down the road.
Would they fire both men on both sides of the crosscut saw?
Well, it could be. Sometimes it's both of them, and sometimes just one. But it might be one of them, they might know was a good worker, you see.
It must have been pretty important who you were teamed up with. Was that quite an important thing, you were teamed up with?
Yeah, that was one of the main things, to have a good partner.
What nationality were most of the lumbermen? Were they professionals, or were they like, you know?
There was a few professionals. Of course, they were the ones that would stay there. Steady, and there might be any nationality. Sometimes hard to tell what they were.
So it wasn't local people?
Well, occasionally, there'd be some local people around. Yeah.
What were they sawing in the sawmill? What were they sawing in the sawmill at Newbridge?
What do you mean? What dimensions they were cutting?
Yeah, were they cutting lumber? Or were they cutting something else? Boards?
Oh, part of it went into inch boards. All manner of dimensions. 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8s, 2x10s, 2x12s. Some 4x4s, a lot of 4x4s, depend on the species. Run into some hemlock, there might be a lot of 4x4s. And your hemlock would be generally more 2-inch stuff. And your pine was mostly 1-inch. So 1.25 inches was quite common too.
Was that cured at all before they loaded it?
Hmm?
Was it cured? Was the wood cured?
No, it was green. Shipped right out somewhere. Probably went to a drying kiln somewhere. Probably
went down through the grass.
No, it went out the railroad. They bypassed the grass. I think that road did. It just seems though it was just. Oh, I don't know. I don't think it never went into the grass, I don't think. It bypassed that somewhere and went over to Fine. And then, let's see, Fine, Oswegatchie. I've almost forgotten how them darn villages up there did go. Harrisville and
how often did they ship a train load out? Would it be a whole train?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't remember how often a train load of lumber went out of there. It just seems to me as though they were in there every day. There'd be 2-3 cars, 3-4 cars, something like that, you see. It seems as though there was a train went in there every day.
Do you have any idea where it was all shipped?
Well, I think the most of them went down New York.
New York City?
Mm-hmm. You said you remember when they closed down?
Hmm?
You said you remembered when they closed down the mill?
Said
they took down all the buildings?
Yeah. No, okay. They didn't take the buildings down. No, they just took the machinery out. I don't know what they did with the buildings. I think little houses, I think people lived there for quite a while afterwards. Some of the people did, I believe.
When did they close down? Years later, or right when you were working? Was it quite a bit after when you were working there that they closed up?
No, when we got the logs cut out there, it closed right down then.
There wasn't anything more for them to saw?
No.
Is that like the last year you worked there then, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the last year you worked there?
Yeah, the last summer I worked there in the mill.
You worked there, what, 3 years, I think you told me?
I think it was 3 years, yeah.
So that would be about 1910, 19,
something
around
like
there.
That.
Mm-hmm. So it took them 3 years to clear that area.
Oh, they've been working there before that.
Oh, yeah?
Long before that,
mm-hmm.
See.
By the time they quit working, were the trees pretty well gone all around there?
Well, the bigger timber was all cleaned up on that track, you see.
This is a picture of the steam loader.
Yeah.
Do you remember that kind of equipment?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Any of the other places you worked, or?
Well, they used to have that up at the Santa Clara, back in the woods up there. But I don't remember that at Newbridge at all.
Those steam engines, were they a pretty strong engine?
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah, they were.
The trains, did they burn coal in the train? Or coal in the train?
Mostly wood.
Wood in the train too?
Mm-hmm.
And you said the mill was steam powered too?
Mm-hmm.
You said the sawmill was steam powered too?
Yeah, that was steam mill. Yeah.
They used scrap wood for that, too?
Yeah, that was wood. Sawdust. Scrap. Slabs. They get all the big, thick butt slabs, they get a 4 foot length of a tree that flared out at the bottom. They get a good thick one, though, especially hemlock. Get a 4 foot piece off the end. That was all went in the pile to make lath out of.
This is the lath that you put up over.
You nail on the walls of your house.
Your plaster.
Yeah.
They made that right there at the sawmill, too?
Oh, yeah. But that's thousands of them. God.
They have more than one saw running there?
Huh?
Did they have more than one saw running at one time?
I don't remember any more than just the one big circular saw. Of course, there's a lot of these other smaller ones that make lath and they're out of them big slabs.
They ever make shingles there?
I don't believe so.
No.
I don't remember that.
How far did they float the logs? Hmm? Was it really very far?
Oh, not that particular mill wasn't really too far, no.
A mile or so?
Oh, probably, it'd be 3, 4, 5 miles, I would think, some of them, yeah.
Do you have to wait for the really high water?
Yeah, in the spring, when it thawed in the spring, the water was high, then they'd run them down there, see, they had a boom across the river to hold a log, so they didn't. We'll keep on going. And haul them out.
But was it some of the same people worked the river drive?
Hmm?
It was the same people that worked the river drive or some of the same people?
Very few of the people that worked in the woods would drive, but that was usually a group of people separate that follow that trade up one place to another.
Do you remember any other river drives, other places?
Oh, yes, all them rivers up there, all of them. Oswegatchie used to be big drives come down to Harrisville. Even this natural dam, this little village right out here, that there was a big sawmill there. And them logs were come down from way up in the woods, some of them. Oh, boy. I've seen that right there at Natural Dam. I've seen that river pull logs clear up to Governor.
A lot of logs there.
Yeah, there'd be quite a lot of logs there.
Do you remember any drives on the Racket River or the St. Regis River?
Oh, they used to log, drive all of them, grass and all of them. Different mills along different places, you see.
They have to mark the trees up at Newbridge? Did they have to mark the trees at Newbridge?
Mark
like brand them? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, the logs.
Yeah.
No, they didn't there, but now you get on a bigger river, like, this stuff coming down the Oswegatchie, that stuff coming to Natural Dam, Weston, Dean, and Aldrich. I don't know what their mark was, but they were logs were all marked before they were rolled in the river, stamped on the end, and all the other big drives. And sometimes the logs get mixed up too. Somebody else's logs get in.
Did they try to go at different times to keep them separate?
Yeah, they'd try to keep them separate, yeah.
But if everyone wanted the high water, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't there conflict sometimes?
Yeah, there was.
Is there very much rivalry between, like, one lumber company and another lumber company?
Always. They always was.
How did you happen to pick the camp that you worked at?
Huh?
How did you happen to pick the camp that you worked at Newbridge? That's quite a ways from this area. How did you end up up there?
Well, there was a cook working up there, her and her husband, and they had, a sister or a brother or something, I forgot now, down where we lived. And why don't you go up where Al 9 cooking and get a job? That's how I got in there first.
You said there was a lot of rivalry between the companies, though. Is there ever, like, fighting or sabotage or any of that kind of stuff?
Oh, not so much at that time. But they were always quarreling, all them big companies. A big rush. When the water would start to raise to be the first one in. That's how they did hire these drivers that made a business of it. They were professionals. They'd hire them away from other companies and
so that was a real specialty then?
Hmm?
It was a real specialty?
Oh, yes, a log drive, oh boy. That was an art in itself.
They must have been quite highly paid then to head something like that.
They might get to maybe $2-3 a week more than the other people. It wasn't so highly paid, do you? I don't know. The people nowadays, if they were paid like they did back in those days, so. Nowadays they go on strike.
Yeah.
Back in those days, you could talk strike, you'd fire you, go down the road, and well, there was always two, three ready to take up that place, you see. So they just didn't strike.
I've heard other people say that they don't think that young people could stand the work.
Hmm?
I've heard other people say that they don't think that young people today could stand the work if it was like in the old days. You had to work that hard.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I know they don't, but maybe they could if they would try. But I don't see any reason why they aren't just as healthy as they were them days.
Do you remember any of the other people that used to work there? I know you said you had a hard time remembering.
Oh, I'm a world's worst when it comes to remember names. Boys, and faces, too. I could meet you tomorrow somewhere. under different conditions. And I know I've had people, he thinks he's somebody. I just don't recognize him.
Yeah. Well, you said you went there with one man.
Isaac.
Isaac.
Simons? Is that it? Simmons or?
Simmons, yeah.
Yeah.
What was he like? What was he like? Was he a professional woodsman or?
Yes, yeah.
Is he from around here?
No, I don't know where he was from, I'm sure. I lost track of him shortly after that. Now he would walk up to a tree and look at it and around and go right up through there. Cut a notch in the side where you want to fall and you take the cross cut saw and go on the back side. That is an art too, falling timber. I've seen the younger people today, they go in the woods with a chainsaw and they don't know which way the tree is going to fall. They don't notch it right. It's a wonder that more of them, well, if they had trees that big around the wood, they'd be half of them killed. Well, you get a good big tree and you don't handle it just right, you're in trouble.
How did you get them to fall it any way but downhill? And they want to fall downhill?
Well, generally, a tree will lean a little bit so it would fall downhill, but there's an angle of, well, say 30 degrees or maybe more that you can swing a tree. Now, if it leans off that way, you could swing that a little bit this way or possibly a little bit this other way, you see.
By cornering it? By cornering it? Is that what it's called?
Well, yeah. No, they didn't call that. I forget. You cut your notch right directly where you want the tree to go. And then when you sawed in the back, if it leaned out that way, you'd leave the more timber on this corner here, holding. And then keep a wedge shape, you see? And keep sawing there, and that notch you cut in your fibers, your tree, going to act something like a hinge bend, you see. And if there's more fibers holding on one side, that'll have a tendency to draw it, see. Don't break so quick. A green wood. That won't break right off, you know.
It'll sway a little bit before, or it's got a lot of give.
It'll hang. It'll take an awful lot of pressure to break it, you see.
Don't you want to cut the tree so that they don't break off a lot of the trunk, though?
So they won't hang up in some other tree. That is the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Francis Sharpstein who told me they had something that was called a barber chair. If you cut the tree, if you didn't cut the tree exactly right, it would fall. It would fall too soon, and it would split up the trunk.
Well, now that depends on how much of a notch you cut in the tree, but it's splitting up. You could fall a tree without cutting any notch. You start to saw in on the opposite side from where it's going to fall. You could saw in across there, keep a sawing, and when it got far enough so that it was top heavy, it would start to lean, and no notch there or anything to guide it. And when it started to lean, it would split right up the. And one part would kick way back out here, the split, and then that would gradually break over the elevator part off.
That's why you put your notch in, so that it doesn't do that.
Yes, and it helps to steer the tree too, where you swing it where you want it to fall too.
You should describe to Alan that you told me once about rolling a tree, so that, you know, say you're trying to get it, there's no other way, you've got to put it into a clump of trees, but how you used to roll it so it wouldn't get tied up in the trees.
Oh yeah, spruce. The branches on a spruce are generally not very long, but they're very stiff, and a lot of them. And they grow close together, too. And if you had an opening where you could fall that, almost wide enough so that the branches would, well, they'd brush a little bit, you see. Instead of trying to fall it right directly in that opening, you'd fall it on either one side to the other, just a little bit, so it would roll. It'd catch more on one side than it would on the other, and it'd roll. It wouldn't go down. If you try to fall it right directly in the center, the branches would reach out and touch both sides and to stay right up there. They grow so thick together that it wouldn't have distance enough to go, so its weight would carry it down through. Oh, they were the fussiest things about hanging up.
What would happen if you got a tree hung up?
Oh, you'd have to cut one of the others that was hung up in. Maybe both of them.
Do you have a way of telling what trees were, real solid, not rotten or something, or be straight?
You could tell whether one was hollow or not, but you couldn't tell whether it was rotten hearted.
How would you tell if it was hollow?
Take your axe and thump on the side of it. You could tell by the sound of it.
What tools did you have beside your crosscut saw? Did you carry axes into the woods with you?
Oh, always an axe. Yeah, that is part of your equipment.
What was your theory about axes? Did you like a double bitted one?
Well, it was almost a must.
A double
bit, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have one file, real sharp and one dull, or how did that work?
Well, one side was ground down thin for chopping, and the other side we'd leave it quite thick for chopping, but use in knots and things like that. And you take a spruce knot or a hemlock knot, especially if they're cold in the winter, frost, full of frost, and your axe would be full of frost too. They break great chunks out of a thin bit. So that's why we use one side thick, you see.
The thin side would just be brittle and splinter right off, is that?
It would get in that knot, and the grain of a knot, it goes every which way. It isn't straight like a body of the wood, you see, the tree. And it's very hard. And if your axe would be real thin, full of frost, one part of that might want one side of a grain, and the other part would tend to the grain of the knot would twist it, you see, enough to break it. Chunk right out of it. Spoil it.
You owned your own equipment then, like axes and saws?
No, the company furnished them back in them days, in the woods like that.
Did you turn it in the evening, or did you keep your own for the whole winter?
Well, this up there, Newbridge, it was supposed to carry them in every night. And Irax and Saul both. And there was a man there that done nothing but file. He had a little cabin that he filed his saw, sharpened the axes, and you'd take a sharp saw every morning and an axe.
So it wouldn't always be the same one?
Well, it never would be if you took them in. So Simmons, he never take his axe and saw in. He'd do his own filing and leave the saw right out there until